This is the Unbreakable Stories podcast, where we share stories of people just like you who have overcome adversity, struggles, hardship, and the setbacks in life or business on your way towards achieving success. It is through these unbreakable stories that will motivate, inspire, encourage, and empower people just like you to believe that if it is possible for someone else, it is possible for you. And now, here are your hosts for this episode, Terry Thompson and Bonnie Rose, the A-Coach. Bonnie, good morning. How's everything going your way today?
Good morning, Terry. Everything's going really well. It's a crisp fall morning here, but it's nice and sunny. How about you?
I'm doing all right. How did that time change affect you? I know for me, I slept in that extra hour. My son came over and he was like, hey, do you realize what time it is? I'm like, maybe.
Actually, so my kiddos got up at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And I did the I'm going to lay on the couch and pretend I'm not awake spiel for a couple of hours. It just felt so good to just be laying covered up and all like snuggly this morning, like extra after all the stuff I've been working on this week. I was like, I'm just going to allow myself to lay here and feel cuddly for a while.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing like a good blanket that you can just dive into and get snuggled in. It's like a warm hug. Just you don't want to let it go.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it reminds me of my military days. So you know, I was in the military for 24 years. And one of the places that I was stationed at a long time ago was Fort Drum, New York. It is super cold up there in northern New York, right? And so we had one particular field exercise where the actual temperature was negative 37. And with the wind chill factor set in and lake effect and all this other stuff, it was like negative 90. Jeez. Nobody wanted to get out of bed. So here's the thing. I was like, all right, I'm going to take care of my soldiers. So we gave all the soldiers the heaters and everything. And we had the leader's tent where I was staying at. We had no heater in there, so it was just get inside your bag, your sack, and cover up, and just, you know, your body heat, your breath, and everything will warm you up. I'm telling you, that first zip and step out of that bag first thing in the morning was like, oh my goodness, it's cold.
I can't imagine. I'm trying to adjust my schedule. I have this weird thing. Like, I don't like to get a shower at night because my hair takes forever to dry and I hate going to bed with wet hair. Mm-hmm. But in the morning, I'm always leaving to take my little ones to the bus stop and it's icy cold. So I'm freezing or my hair freezes because drying it just takes forever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm like, would I rather go to bed with my hair wet or would I rather go outside in the icy cold weather with my hair wet? So I'm trying to make that decision. Like, I'm not sure. Or get up at 5 and like make sure my hair is dry before we leave. It's like, none of those really feel like great options right now. Mm-hmm. Lesser of the evils.
Once again, back to New York, I can tell you days of where I did physical training where we went on a 3, 4, 5 mile run. And when we get back, ice, I mean, ice is literally formed on your face, on your hat and everything. So I can truly relate to how cold it can get in the northern parts of the U.S.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm excited today, man. We're going to dive into a really super fun topic today. And I'm excited because I thought of this a while back. And, you know, there's not very many people that can really challenge me on this, depending on how you look at it. It's a really fun, super topic, and it's about the internet. So in my opinion, I strongly believe that the entire internet is spam. All of it. Every single last bit of anything and everything that is on the internet is spam. Here's the caveat. To someone, the internet is spam. To someone, this video is spam. To someone, this music is spam. This video, this text, this book, whatever that is out there on the internet. And there's a lot of stuff that's out there on the internet. It is spam to someone. What are your thoughts on that?
I like that you put the caveat in there to someone, because I chuckled when you brought the topic up, was it last night? And really got me. The first thing, of course, popped into my mind is a can of spam, right? Which I think is absolutely horrid. But my only daughter, she loves that and that Vienna sausage. So for some reason, those two things kept popping in the visuals were popping in my head. Mm-hmm. And but it's a really good point, right? Because I should have looked it up, but the actual definition of spam, other than the canned meat, to see what it actually, the dictionary says. But I guess my definition of it would be like unwanted information or advertising, mm-hmm. right? And I know lots of us, like my email boxes are full of all kinds of
spam.
Spam, but like spam. I get really crude. Like my son wanted to borrow my phone to use we have a remote app on my phone for our Fire TV. And I was like, hold on. And I had, cause I was looking for something in the spam box. I'm like, you can't, because it's all very, very vulgar. And I'm like, it's that to me is definitely spam. Like I have no interest in any of that whatsoever. Nice. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good point that it kind of goes hand in hand with everybody has an opinion and lots of people get offended by, well, people get offended by different things, right?
Absolutely. So the key word that you put there was unwanted. And there's a lot of things across the internet that are just unwanted. So I'll give you a great example. Some very popular things that are out there today, nowadays, and it's just boggles my mind. It just 100% absolutely blows my mind how this is even successful. And that's all these dancing videos of just like whatever songs and music. And then, you know, the girls and even the guys are starting to even look more sexier than the girls nowadays. And I'm just saying, so you put a song on, you dance, you got this little move and this, that, and the other. Now to a lot of people, that's an absolute turn on. To other people, it's like, what the, you know, like you said, WTF, you know, kind of a thing. And then I'm sitting here wondering like, man, each and every day I'm putting out great content. You're putting out great content. And yet you get a video of like somebody just shaking their freaking tail feather on the camera. And they're like, that gets like 11 million views, 40 million views. And then here we are putting out great content. We have information that could save someone's life. And it gets filtered. It 100% absolutely gets filtered. It nobody sees it. And yet, you know, I can turn on any app today and I can see an ass shaking across the screen.
I think there's two reasons that works. One, sex sells, right? Everybody knows that. That's why they
exactly
put half naked women on in car commercial, car ads and beer ads and everything else. But also people are looking. So I think there's three different types of content that sell really well on the internet. And that's supposed to be education, entertainment, and I'm going to forget the last one.
Finances?
Maybe. I don't know. We can look it up. But I know education and entertainment, basically escape
health,
would be a third one.
Health.
So people are, people are looking for... People are looking for entertainment and an escape most of the time. Like that's at the top of that list.
Yeah.
And that's why this stuff really, really works, because most people get on social media to be entertained and to escape from whatever it is that they're doing that they don't like in their lives. You know, you're waiting for something, you're looking for entertainment. You're, you know, sitting in line at the school drop off, pick up line, whatever. I haven't had to do that, but I've heard lots of horrible stories about how agitating it can be. And or they come home from work, or they're even at work and they're just mindlessly scrolling because they're not engaged in what they're doing right now. And that stuff is engaging to people. Yeah. I get a kick out of some of the, so I follow a couple of people who do dancing videos, but they tend to mix the dancing with educational content. So those ones interest me because I like that they're putting a fun twist on the educational content. Mm-hmm. So the sole purpose of the dancing is not, or the sole purpose of the content is not the dancing. It's the education, but that's how they catch your attention. And I think that combination works really well. Mm-hmm. But you're right. There's just video after video after video after videos. That's why I really don't like, I don't use TikTok. I'm not a big Reels user yet. And I actually want to help be one of the ones to help change the narrative of how these platforms work. But it is very difficult when your content is getting suppressed.
Exactly. I can relate to that. So I can put out a video and it reaches nobody. And then I can put out something just absolutely just mind-numbingly like stupid and it gets 5,000 views. You know what I'm saying? So I can relate to that. And I know you have some great content and it could be life-changing. Your content literally could be helping somebody today. But unfortunately, you know, these platforms, I don't know what they're looking after. I don't know what they're looking, you know, are they trying to keep people safe, misinformation, whatever the case. So, you know, there's a lot to kind of unpack there with that to where, okay, you got content that could literally just, you know, mindlessly keep people on the app or information that could save a life. It's like, man, where's the balance there within that? So for me, I think, okay, all of this garbage is junk. It's spam. I don't want to see it. You know what I'm saying? But it really overshadows these things that I am looking for. So it's like I go on the app and I want to see certain people that I'm following. I want to go on the app and I want to see certain people that I'm interested in or topics. And then when I click on there, it's like, here's spam after spam. I was like, where are my friends at? Where are the people that I'm following at? But yet you're shoving all of this spam into my feed.
Yeah, I think it depends on the platform. I have been super careful to curate after struggling with depression and anxiety for so long and coming kind of out of that and healing myself. I became like overconscious almost of curating my feed. Like I don't hang out on my personal Facebook page like at all because the people, unfortunately, that I'm connected with on there are still very much stuck in the same patterns and habits that they were 20 years ago. And that's fine. If that's what makes them happy, the problem with that is that most of them don't seem happy. Right.
Yeah.
But I was really careful to curate my feed.
And so that I'm only seeing people. And that's a great point. So I will intentionally visit websites and this, that, and the other. So that way I intentionally see ads from specific people that are running ads. So I will intentionally visit, let's say, maybe a ClickFunnels website or, you know, something like that, that I want to see ads from. So that curation part is very important because, you know, what you visit, it will follow you around. And to me, it still blows my mind why I get certain things. It's like, well, gosh, I didn't visit any of that. I didn't look at any of that. I'm not interested in any of that. I don't even see Evan's stuff. You know, it's kind of one of those things like I should be seeing that. That should be the first thing that I see. And, you know, you're right about Facebook. So Facebook is one of those things that every time I go to Facebook, every time I get on Facebook, the biggest thing that I see is somebody died. Like somebody that I'm really, it's like, it's become basically a graveyard. Like it's a news site for like who all died. And then there's that degree of negativity. And it's like, gosh, you know, I don't even want to go to Facebook because there's nothing positive there.
Yeah. And that's why I said, I don't spend any time on my personal Facebook page. There's a couple of people that I follow or that I'm friends with that I'll interact purposely with, or I seek them out. But I think what we really have to keep in mind is that we get to use these platforms for free and every single one of them is a business. Exactly. So they're not necessarily doing what's in the best interest of their users. They're doing what's in the best interest of their bottom line. And when they put this kind of content in front of people, they can also put more ads in front of people, which brings in that ad money. And I don't even think a lot of these people realize how they are helping fund these platforms by what it is they are spending time watching or reading or looking at or whatever the case is.
Because it's all data.
Exactly.
It's all data. It's all being captured. Everything that you like, everything that you share, everything that you are doing on the internet, those platforms are collecting data. And there's nothing wrong in that. I understand it because you and I, we're both business people. You know, we want people to see those types of things, you know, because I run ads and I'm not sure if you've ran ads, but I'm sure that there may be a point there where you do. You know, you want people that like certain things, share certain things, engage in certain things to see your content. And then at the opposite end of that spectrum, there will be people that will, you know, they will get served, so to speak, your content, your ads, and they'll be like, this is garbage. This is spam. This is junk. Why are you advertising this? I didn't get this. I literally had somebody the other day that said, could you please take me off of your list? I don't want to see your stuff on Facebook no more. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are. Like, I don't control, I'm not Facebook. I don't control what Facebook does or how they serve my content. You might be seeing my content because you're following pages similar to mine, and Facebook decided, oh, you may be interested in Terry Thompson. Here's a picture. So somebody actually texted me or messaged me on Facebook and said, please stop showing me your stuff. I don't want to see it no more. I'm like, I'm not Facebook, dude. I'm sorry. It might be spam to you, but I didn't send you that. So I thought that was interesting.
I do. I haven't had that particularly happen. I've definitely gotten attacked on Facebook for in different situations, like verbally attacked and shamed. And I'll tell you a quick story. So when my 8-year-old Jay started kindergarten, I made him 5 t-shirts for the first week of school. And on the back, I put basically like, please return to room, blah, 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 clap with his class in case he got lost. Mm. And
that's actually a smart idea, though.
Thank you. Now, here, listen to this. he was dropped off at the wrong bus stop on the very first day of school. I have goosebumps telling the story because I got my daughter was super excited. She wanted to go meet him for his first day of school to go pick him up. She walks on the bus stop. All the kids get off and my kid doesn't get off the bus. Mm-hmm. So our crossing guard is also a neighbor friend of mine that has kind of, her kids have kind of grown up with my younger kids, and they both start to panic. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm at home working on stuff. And I get a call from her, a call from I'm getting all these calls and I'm like, what's going on? So I jump in the car because previous to that, they had had him scheduled to get off at a different bus stop, which is across the main road and up in this housing plan. I'm like, I'm not having him cross a main road twice a day, every day, not happening. Put him down where our normal bus stop is. So I drive up to this cul-de-sac and I'm driving around looking for him. Can't find him here. They ended up finding him about 2 blocks away and completely petrified, like bawling his eyes out, just scared to death because he had no idea where he was. And so the next day I put his bus number and bus stop on his sleeve. So I post this on Facebook and a few groups because I'm like, I can't be the only one that's ever experienced something like this. Maybe this will help other people. I can make these. And I got inundated with, do you have any idea how dangerous that is? You're just going to get him kidnapped. And did it like, I can't even tell you how many. It was the first time I had been really verbally, publicly attacked for something I thought was helpful. And my response, I thanked a lot of them for their input and just like, thank you. Just try to kind of diffuse the situation. Thank you. I'm sorry you feel that way, but you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was getting, I guess you could call them spam messages from people with just hate comments, which that was super unwanted. You know what I mean? Like I was trying to do something helpful.
Right.
So long story short, not everybody is going to be happy with what you put out on the internet. Most people probably will not be. And some of those people take it upon themselves to verbally abuse you on top of that. So I guess all of that just to say that there's always going to be someone who feels like your content is unwanted or unwarranted or out of line or yada, 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 yada. Yeah, but that's not going to stop me.
I think there's context there, you know, depending on the context. And sometimes people don't often understand the context behind or the meaning behind. They only associate from either their level of understanding or their level of experience. And, you know, hearing that story right there reminds me of a couple of things because I can play both sides of that fence. I can play the positive side and the negative side of that fence. From one standpoint, it's like, yes, I'm looking out for my child, making sure that, you know, just in case there's something that's there, you know, here's identification. It could be personally identifiable information, but maybe it's not. You know, maybe it's helpful. It's like, hey, you know, if my child is wandering around, hey, you can look at there. Maybe if everybody did it, or you're trying to spur a revolution in accountability, so to speak, and you know, it makes me kind of wonder, because I know we have numbers. So the kids walk around with numbers on their bags.
Same with ours.
And that kind of helps. Really, that helps keep track of, you know, what vehicles are picking them up, so to speak.
Exactly.
And it's kind of one of those things to where, okay, from a security standpoint, you could look at it this way. Those things could easily be recreated. Somebody could pick up potentially. Now, potentially being the key word, because look, if someone showed up with like a number that is similar to my child or your child, and my child doesn't recognize that vehicle or that person, you know, there's a lot to unpack there. So I just think that some people don't fully think things through when they jump to premature conclusions or premature, you know, conclusions. I'll leave it at that. And I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, it kind of falls into that line of spam. What might be helpful to one could be spam to others. It's like, oh, you're setting your kid up for this, that, and the other negative, negative, negative type stuff. It's like, no, I'm actually kind of looking out for my child.
Right. And that was my point boiled down to, this was not his name. It wasn't anything, didn't have his address or anything on there.
Personally, and anybody who was,
right, anybody who was trying to quote unquote stalk and kidnap my child probably already knew what bus stop he was getting off at. Mm-hmm. Like that to me. And again, it, like you said, it can go both ways. But in my mind, I was more terrified of him getting off on the wrong stop again. I put it on the left sleeve, which is facing the bus driver when he gets off the bus. So just in case, mm-hmm. maybe the bus driver catches that and goes, oh, this isn't where he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And again, I actually got kudos from a retired, I think he was a lieutenant in Baltimore, I don't know, somewhere, reached out to me and said, you know what, this would actually be really helpful for Alzheimer's patients who mm-hmm. live in nursing homes, because they tend to wander mm-hmm. and they don't know where they're supposed to be or who they are or anything mm-hmm. else. And by putting it up, you know, something like that up on the back of their neck, that mm-hmm. would help officers figure out where they need to be. So again, like you said, there's two sides of it. Some people were really angry. Some people were really supportive, and that it's works for any content you put out there, which I think is part of the reason some of our content, mine especially, up until about a year ago, anxiety was one of those words where you could only, only people who had elected and followed that hashtag would actually see those posts. It was hidden from everybody else because it was considered sensitive content. Mm-hmm. So is it their job? I don't know mm-hmm. if it's their job to protect us. I think there are definitely some things that don't belong on social media mm-hmm. That aren't necessarily spam. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a lot of stuff out there. I'm in the court of, if I don't want to look at it, I'll just scroll past it. Like I just don't.
I'm the same way. I do the same way.
Get offended.
What about this? So look at it from this standpoint though. What about inclusion? Because, and here's the reason why I say inclusion, because you know, you talk about everything being a business. It is, it's a business. Social media is a business. I forget the right word for it, but it's, social is the key word there, but it's like social, I don't want to say social manipulation, but I want to say there's a part of social something there where it's like, here's content. We're going to put this down. We're going to control the narrative. This is what you're going to see. This is what you're not going to see. And I strongly believe that, you know, we all know that there's a degree of business that's there, but what about that inclusion part of it to where it's like, okay, now more days, certain groups and people and things and ideas and concepts, whatever label you want to put on it, are now becoming more relevant, more visible. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain communities that are out there that never had a voice. Now we have social media that gives them that voice. But yet it's like you get certain people that are like, no, you can just stay back in the closet. No, you can just stay back here. We don't want you out here. That's spam. And then you got some people that's like, why, you know, this, and this is all of the reasons on why we should have a platform, why we should have a voice. And then you get this back and forth, and then you get the app or the business or the company that's stuck in the middle of all of that. And now they got to make a choice. Do they pick and choose? Well, at the end of the day, both sides are on the platform. Both sides use the business, use the company, provides data. there's a lot of different ways to weigh that out and measure that out. It's like, gosh, do you pick a side? Do you choose a side? Do you do this or do you pivot? And yeah, I think that's what Facebook recently did here, is that they changed, they pivoted because they were under attack, this, that, and the other, and they're trying to control and or even better yet, create the future of the platform. So Facebook recently changed their name from Facebook to Meta. And I think that it's a very smart move. And there's a lot of people that have an opinion about that. They spam, it's junk, it's only, you know, after a certain audience of people, you're going to forget about everybody over here, but we're going to include everybody that's over here. So I really believe that Facebook changing their name to Meta was a smart, because one, after all, they do have a lot of metadata on a lot of people. And then moving into the future of artificial intelligence, crypto, NFTs, gaming, it makes perfect sense to be able to change your name to that. But there's a lot of groups that will disagree. They're like, no, that's spam, that's junk. You're not including everybody. You're only after a certain niche. That's fine. Find another platform then.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the end of the day, they're a business and they're going to appease their advertisers, whoever's paying them the most amount of money to advertise on their platform. If those people aren't happy, they're not getting paid. As much as this in the beginning was supposed to be an app for the people, it's not as much anymore. It's really kind of catered to the person who's willing to pay the most amount of money. And that's, there's definitely a lot to unpack there. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's a free app for all of us who use it. And then that you've got massive companies that are paying Facebook, Meta, and Instagram and Twitter and, you know, TikTok or whatever, millions and billions of dollars to be shown, and you have the app used a specific way. So I'm kind of, like I said, I was frustrated when my stuff started getting suppressed, but I'm like, I'm not paying to use this. Like, I really don't get to have a huge say in what happens with my content.
But what if you, if you were paying?
Then I would probably be getting pushed in front of more people. I mean, that's what paid ads are designed to do.
So it leads me down the path of like, okay, all these platforms are free. It really kind of opens up the door for anybody and everybody to just jump into the conversation and say, this is spam, this is junk, this is garbage, this, why are you posting this? Why is this? You know, then you get into the whole different conversation of, you know, what is content? Because what is content to one person might not necessarily be content to the next person. Like, it drives me nuts when I look at some of these videos out there and it's like 15 seconds of just like, what the mess is this? You know what I'm saying? So for me, that's garbage. That's junk. That's spam. And I'm sitting here giving gold, life-saving information, and it's just not getting no traction nowhere. So once again, there's other options that are out there. We all know that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Clubhouse, you know, all these are really, these are the big platforms, but there's also a lot of other platforms that are lesser known, but give you a different voice as well too. Or at the end of the day, create your own freaking platform and drive traffic to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's an option. Like I said, I don't feel I have the right to complain too much about anything that I'm not paying for. Here's another thought about that. Being Meta, and we both know Gary Vee, being Meta and thinking of the big picture and whatnot, the future of commerce is in the hands of our teenagers. And who loves these dancing videos, these nonsense videos, these prank videos, these, what are the other ones? The challenge videos, is the younger, you know, 13 to 25 year olds. I'm just making a generalization, obviously. But that's the future of commerce. That's those are the people who are going to be buying stuff in the next 5 to 10 years, that they're going to be pumping money into these things. And it, thinking about the big picture, it makes sense that they're catering to that generation. Now I don't own a big corporation. I've had a difficult time in the past really narrowing down my ideal, you know, client or target market, with the different things that I'm doing, but I'm starting to learn more and more how these different pieces and platforms kind of work and what it is they're looking for and how do I use that to my advantage versus sitting here and complaining about my content not getting eyeballs on it.
Yeah. Here's something for you. I have a gigantic thing for you. And it just came to mind when you just said what you said a minute ago. All of these platforms, I'm shocked that nobody has taken it to whatever organization, platform, or whatever, and claim child labor. Think about it. I know it's free. Now, there's a lot to unpack with what I just said with that, right?
Yeah, because I was going to say, I'm sure you remember what was it, COPPA, and the whole thing with YouTube and showing ads to kids.
Yes.
And
but it's the kids out there creating content that is becoming influence that is forcing the market. Would that be considered child labor or not? And it's supporting the dang thing.
Well, I guess you would really have to look at the laws and the ages, because technically nobody under the age of 13 is supposed to be on these platforms. And I know here in PA, you can get a worker's permit at age 14 or work permit. I think that's what it's called.
There will be some groups that complain against that because, you know, you don't really see that narrative. You don't really see that conversation happening out there. It's, you know, there's certain things that do get focused on. And from one perspective, it's spam. Like, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of times where I can't turn on, you know, something like a YouTube video or something without seeing somebody making slime or toys or, you know, something along those lines. And that, you know, that's influencing the market. So even though, yeah, the teenagers is one good market, you have the child market as another, but even though the younger generation can't really purchase, there's no purchasing power, but there's parents that are like, oh, you know, I want my boo-boo to have all this stuff because, well, they see it on YouTube every day. Well, I want my boo-boo to have this stuff because, well, I see that so-and-so is sharing that on Instagram or whatever the case. So once again, it turns back into business. It turns back into spam. It turns back into, you know, what's really going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's another conversation or seven, to be honest with you.
You said seven.
Like, I am going to be very honest. When the COPPA stuff came out and people were complaining about that, and I follow some pretty big names that were talking about how this was going to, you know, how our kids needed to be protected. And I'm like, look, you know, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's our job as parents to not throw a tablet in front of our kids and say, here, do whatever you want, because I don't want to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to turn around and complain because they're watching XYZ. Well, you're the one that's supposed to be in control. You're the one that's supposed to be monitoring what your kid is doing. YouTube's not responsible for that. Now, one little piece of that I'm going to say is that there were inappropriate videos somehow getting into YouTube Kids, which is I don't know what it's actually called, but like a locked platform where you're only allowed to have certain age level of content on YouTube Kids. But on regular YouTube, if you're letting your kid watch YouTube, like, you're putting them out there. It's an online, it's kind of like, so our kids play games on Xbox and they keep asking if we can get, like, certain games you can only get with that Xbox Live or whatever, which puts them out there exposed to everybody on the internet that's playing Xbox. And I'm like, no, we're not doing this. Sorry, you really want to play that game, but I'm not exposing you to some weirdo that lives 50 miles from here who's looking for kids to prey on. I just refuse to do that.
Yeah. And that's a great conversation. That's another great conversation, because it also, oh my goodness, I can't, you know, targeting, for example, you know, kids are, I'll give you a great example.
That whole thing of priming.
Priming, exactly. So my son the other day was like, hey, you know, I submitted to be a moderator on a YouTube channel or something along those lines. I can't remember. And I was like, well, what did you do? I was like, well, I filled out a form. I was like, well, what information did you give on this form? You know, once again, I was like, well, he goes, Dad, don't worry. He said, I didn't give any information like name, house. And so he was speaking back to me all the things that I was concerned about. So one, that let me know, damn, you know, my kid's pretty smart. You know, I'm glad that he spoke back to me the concerns that I had, so that what that did was, is that limited the amount of questions that I had to ask my son.
Right. You
know what I'm saying? Because here he is, he's thinking, okay, I'm playing a game. Somebody wants me to be a moderator within my, I don't know, my Discord or my Twitch or my YouTube or something along those lines. But you had to fill out a form in order to be selected and this, that, and the other. So once again, there's other things to look out after, not just from a spam perspective, but from a safety perspective, you know, from a inclusion perspective to, hey, you know, I get to be a moderator on a YouTube channel with 3 million subscribers. Fantastic. But now you're exposed, you know, kind of a thing. So there's a lot to look at there.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that our elementary school did that I thought was really great was last year during COVID and lockdown and, you know, e-learning, their computer class, and this is in second grade, I love our elementary school. I'm just going to say that. Shout out to our elementary school. I'm not going to mention it for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. They did an internet safety class with the kids and did this whole series, I guess you could call it, on what is okay to tell people and what is not okay to tell people, what you should do when you're on the internet, what you should not do on the internet, and really helping the kids discern between what information is safe for you to share with somebody that you basically don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. And how it's, and the fact that just because somebody says they're 7 and this is their name, you have no way being on the other end of that, unless you're talking like in a Zoom and can see face to face, that person is who they say they are. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really cool that, you know, him at 7 years old, I mean, I've been teaching them stuff like that too. You know, they want to play Roblox and Minecraft and all these other different things. And I'm like, you're not chatting with anybody. You're not like, there's all these features. You're not allowed to use any of this stuff. And if I catch you using it, that's it. Your account's getting deleted. Like there's no, I'm not playing around with that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's another kind of like silly almost form of spam is like they're playing these online games. And that's the only one I think that they play online with other people is that Roblox. Mm-hmm. You see these kids running around and kids, I say kids, cause again, I'm not 100% sure that they're kids, but the messages that they're sending to each other is like, you're a poopy head. Why did you do that? It's ridiculous stuff. I'm like, at least the conversation is like PG or G.
You turn burglar.
Yeah. Like this ridiculous, like I'm monitoring it while he's playing, you know, just to be safe. And
hey, I'm 50 years old and poop is still a funny word.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, stuff like that, if you think about it, it's funny to a 7-year-old that might be funny to a 50-year-old too, but most people, had somebody started messaging you that like on Facebook, that would be spam. You'd be like, what is wrong with this person? Block, delete. You know what I mean? Like, at least I probably would. But anyways, I was really just happy that they were doing it in internet safety.
You know what that reminds me of though? It reminds me of, so you use the word priming, and I think that that's a better word than what I was thinking of. And I was thinking of luring, you know, luring.
Grooming people. And priming.
Oh yeah. Grooming and priming.
Yeah.
Those are two fantastic words because the thing is that you want to make sure that you are lowering the other person's guard, lowering their defenses, so to speak. And it's like you build that relationship and then bam, there goes that next thing, that next level of, you know, whatever that may be. So when, you know, and it falls in line with like everything is spam because, you know, a child may be thinking, hey, you know, this is great. I get to be a moderator on, you know, so-and-so's YouTube channel or something. And yet at the end of the day, I'm thinking, man, that's spam, that's garbage, that's junk, that's just luring, that's grooming, that's priming. All those things of trying to either get information, extract information, getting money kind of a thing. It's like, hey, now you're going to buy these NFTs. Now you're going to buy this stuff. Now you're going to get my clothes, my merch. And it's like, it's a process. And one step is just to make them feel comfortable. The next step is like, hey, now I'm going to give you a little bit of responsibility. And then it ladders from there. Next thing you know, it's like, hey, go buy my stuff. Hey, join this. Hey, go do this. Hey, now go support this guy. Hey, go support this. And then it just snowballs from there. So just to kind of wind this down here a little bit, everything that's out there on the internet, I believe is spam to someone. But once again, what may be comfortable to one person or a community to one person might be absolutely just like, what are you doing? Like, you're just nerd, you know, or whatever the case, or, hey, you know, they're just taking money, or, hey, there's an ulterior motive or a message there. But no, man, I'm telling you, it's a great group. Yeah. But like, look at your messaging. So there's we could really have about, you know, another 10 or 15 conversations on all the different tree branches of the main thing, which, you know, we said the entire internet is spam to someone. But there's multiple branches to that, multiple conversations, multiple ways in which the initial idea and concept could lead you down a path of both positive and negative, because not everybody has good intentions. Not everybody has bad intentions. It's up to you to make that decision of what is good, bad, positive, negative. What do you want to support? What do you not want to support? You know, Bonnie, you mentioned a couple of things that in the back of your head, great ideas. Maybe it could start a revolution of keeping track of like kids all the way up to keeping track of patients with Alzheimer's disease, you know, and to some people, that's a great idea. To others, it's like, what in the world are you doing? That's junk, garbage, spam, you know, whatever the case may be. So I had a lot of fun today talking about this. I mean, once again, we could probably have like a week-long conversation about all of this stuff that we mentioned, but I just wanted to kind of present the idea, unpack just a couple of little key points, and who knows, maybe there's follow-on discussion for this. What do you think?
Absolutely. I just wanted to note one thing, that those two words, although they seem harmless, priming and grooming are typically talked about when a predator is trying to get a child to do XYZ, whatever that is. So I just want to throw that out there. Although it sounds like great terminology for attracting a client per se, mm-hmm. Or a customer or whatever the case is, those are two of those touchy words that you need to be careful about using, because when you're talking about that, it's usually in a negative light. But I definitely agree with you that we could have multiple conversations about, I mean, the internet goes on forever, which means the conversations can go on forever. But this was a great one. I'm really glad we got to have this conversation for sure.
Yeah, same here. Thank you very much. And, you know, it's these conversations that must happen each and every day. You know, the internet is one of those tools, and that's all that it is. It's a tool. It's a resource in which to share content, concepts, ideas, thoughts, things, whatever label that you want to put on it. That's the whole purpose of the internet. You know, the internet is there. You can make money. You can share ideas and content. You can do education, entertainment, health stuff. I mean, there's so many different things that can live and breathe out on the internet. But at the end of the day, here's my advice to you. Make a decision, make an intentional decision of what works best for you. And if it works best for you, that's fine. But not everybody really wants your opinion, because what may be one thing to you may be another thing to somebody else. And even though we shared our opinions, keep in mind, these are our opinions. These are our thoughts. These are our ideas. And you may agree with them. You may not agree with them. At the end of the day, I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly okay with that, because I have my thoughts and I have my opinions based off of my knowledge, my skills, my experience. And until otherwise changed, they're still my thoughts. They're still my ideas, still my knowledge, still my experience. And I think that that is very important out there, because the internet is filled with so many things that could be confusing to a lot of different people based off of your knowledge, your skills, and your experience. So before you jump to any premature conclusions that anything that we've said here today is spam, make sure you do your research first. Make sure you get yourself some knowledge, some skills, and some experience, because you might not be there yet, and that's fine. We're all at different levels, and that's okay. So my name is Terry, along with my co-host here, Bonnie. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.